Welcome to Alex Asks, a podcast series determined to bring to light the inequities within the music industry and discuss ways we can do better. Each episode, we'll take a look at an artist that experienced injustice within the industry. What happened, why it happened, how we reacted, how it all went down. I'm Alex, your host. Thank you so much for being here. Maybe some of y'all listened to some Taylor Swift songs after last episode. Her entire catalog is so good, depending on the mood that day. Sometimes I just need some Taylor in my life. If there's one thing I will always commend Taylor for, it's her songwriting. She brings it with every new release. Today, Alex asks, what happened with Kesha? Before I begin, I would like to state that I will be discussing content that may be triggering to some folks. Namely, I will be discussing Kesha's allegations of abuse and harassment from her former producer, Dr. Luke. This will include topics such as rape and eating disorders. Kesha is a multi-platinum recording artist, songwriter, and her career immediately took off after releasing her first single, TikTok, which at the time broke the record for most digital singles sold in 1 week. Kesha's first album, Animal, came out in 2010, and I remember that album soundtracking my middle school experience. Kesha seemed like she blew up overnight after first reaching success with an uncredited feature on Flo Rida's Smash, Right Round, another total bop, and then eventually turning toward her brand of upbeat dance pop music. She continued her streak of mainstream success after TikTok by releasing single after single, with almost each one reaching the top 10 of the Billboard Hot 100 chart. She has since been nominated for 2 Grammys, 7 Billboard Music Awards, and has received awards from the Human Rights Campaign, among others, for her advocacy as an artist. She has always carried a brand of being outspoken in who she is, and has faced criticism for her music being a negative influence on the young people who listen to it. Like I said, her album Animal and the follow-up EP Cannibal were the soundtracks of my middle school experience. These early albums contained much lyrical content focused on partying, getting trashed, and being unapologetic about it. But criticism of her work and its influence is just one facet of the larger systemic issues at play in Kesha's career. In 2014, after over 3 years of continued success, Kesha checked herself into a rehabilitation facility to treat her bulimia nervosa, an eating disorder, and began to work on her next album while working through it. After successfully completing her stay at rehab, Kesha returned to the forefront of the public eye when she sued her producer, Dr. Luke. This kicked off a series of legal battles that are still continuing today. She alleged that Dr. Luke had committed sexual assault and battery, sexual harassment, gender violence, emotional abuse, unfair business practices, and intentional affliction of emotional distress against her. Because of these allegations, Kesha was seeking to terminate her contract with Dr. Luke and his record label, Kemosabe Records, so that she may continue to make music without putting herself at risk of being abused or harmed by Dr. Luke again. But who is this Dr. Luke person? His real name is Lucas Gottwald, and he is an extremely prominent music producer. After being taken under the wing of fellow Swedish pop music producer mastermind Max Martin, who is partially responsible for some of Britney Spears' and Ariana Grande's biggest hits, including many, many others, Gottwald made a name for himself by producing major hits for other pop artists. After reaching mainstream success by producing multiple number one singles for Kelly Clarkson, Avril Lavigne, and Katy Perry, he became synonymous with making commercially successful pop songs. After meeting with Kesha and her mother, Dr. Luke signed her and reportedly instigated Kesha's loss of creative control and the development of her eating disorder. These reports first came to light in 2013, when a fan of Kesha's created a petition to free her from Dr. Luke's management after watching Kesha's documentary TV series, My Crazy Beautiful Life, in which Kesha discusses having no creative control over her then-latest release, Warrior. Following this, Kesha's mother alleged that Dr. Luke was responsible for Kesha checking into rehab, as he had chronically ridiculed her on her weight and appearance. After filing the suit, Kesha went further into detail that Dr. Luke had repeatedly drugged her, had sexual contact with her both with and without her consent, and that after 10 years of working together, this abuse led to her developing an eating disorder. Kesha requested an injunction from the court, hoping to cut off her ties to Dr. Luke and be out of his contract. In doing so, she made allegations against Sony, her overarching record label, stating that executives knew of and chose to ignore and even conceal Dr. Luke's history of abuse against her. Dr. Luke countersued Kesha for defamation, claiming that she and her mother fabricated the alleged abuse and later introduced past instances of what seemed to indicate a positive relationship between Dr. Luke and Kesha and her mother. Additionally, Kesha's videotaped deposition in 2011, in which she states that she was never drugged or assaulted by Dr. Luke, was included in Dr. Luke's countersuit. Kesha's lawyers claim that she lied under oath because of post-traumatic stress disorder as a result of the abuse and out of fear of what Dr. Luke would do to her and her career if she told the truth. Despite this, Kesha's injunction to be free from Sony and Dr. Luke was thrown out in 2016. Kesha appealed the decision but faced another setback after the judge dismissed all of Kesha's claims of abuse. The judge stated that Kesha only cited two specific examples of abuse. Most recently, the example was from 2008. This falls out of the statute of limitations and therefore was not considered in the decision. Secondly, the judge claimed that Kesha's allegation of intentional affliction of emotional distress could not be proven because, quote-unquote, claims of insults about her value as an artist, her looks, and her weight were insufficient to constitute extreme, outrageous conduct intolerable in civilized society. Because of her status as a celebrity, it was not considered abusive or emotionally distressing in the eyes of the court for Kesha to receive these harmful comments. In August of 2016, Kesha dropped the sexual abuse case made in Los Angeles while continuing to fight in her New York filed case, which focuses on removing her from her contract with Dr. Luke and Sony. The results of these court battles manifested in multiple ways. First, the hashtag Free Kesha began to take the internet by storm. After Dr. Luke repeatedly denied these claims and seemed to win time and time again in the court proceedings, many fans and critics began to look into what was going on. It was discovered that Judge Shirley Kornreich, the judge that presided over Kesha's case and ultimately denied the injunction in Kesha's claims, is married to a lawyer on the legal team for Sony Entertainment. This conflict of interest represents a clear injustice in Kesha's case, as the financial security and gains of the judge on Kesha's case was directly tied to Sony, and thereby Dr. Luke, not losing the case against her. And because Kesha had technically signed to Dr. Luke's private label in 2005 before officially signing with Sony and RCA Records later, Sony claimed to have no say in terminating her contract with Dr. Luke. Despite these setbacks, Kesha had been working on music both privately and with other collaborators, however, and was given the opportunity to record and release music still with Sony, but without having to work with Dr. Luke. This, in my opinion, trash compromise resulted in the powerful, emotionally cathartic lead single titled Praying, in which Kesha speaks to someone in particular. I hope you're somewhere praying. Kesha used her platform and experiences to speak out when the judicial system failed her, and it resonated with fans, other artists, and the music industry as a whole. Kesha received her first ever Grammy nominations for the song and its accompanying album Rainbow, and was able to tour the album worldwide on her own terms. The album itself marked a stark difference in her sound, indicating that she had agency over her art for the first time. She has since released another album called High Road that touches on her past issues but moves her sound in a more dance pop direction, like her older music. But again, this album is hers, not Dr. Luke's. Kesha has since performed for multiple benefits, released one-off singles when she feels like it, and has gone viral on TikTok for her old track, Cannibal. She is doing better, but her story speaks volumes about what goes on in the music industry. Yes, Dr. Luke experienced a huge blow to his career. He is no longer listed on Sony Music's website of producers or creators, and he formally stepped down from his position as CEO of Kemosabe Records shortly after his name was removed in 2017. However, he still has a career. In fact, this year, a song produced by Dr. Luke became the number one song in the country, Say So by Doja Cat, which is a whole other story. This is the first time this has happened for Dr. Luke in almost a decade. How is it still possible that he can make music? And more importantly, how are people willing to make music with him? Like in Taylor Swift's episode, this is a story of male domination and ownership. Kesha was 18 years old when she signed her contract with Dr. Luke, which required a certain amount of albums be written and produced with him. Dr. Luke took advantage of Kesha's positioning as a young woman trying to make music and saving money to do so by working as a waitress on the side. She signed the contract because Dr. Luke was offering her the chance to make her dreams of creating and releasing music come to life, all while ensuring that the contract gouges her free pay. He used her to bolster his own name and profited off her image, while giving her no other option but to follow the image and persona he created for her by writing and producing all of her music. He stripped her of her agency, and the capitalist system that drives the music industry allowed him to do so. Public response represents the split sides. Some passionately side with Kesha, see Sony and Dr. Luke as malicious, and believe her story 100%. The other side blames her for her own predicament and accuses her of lying. When we start believing women and lifting their voices and their stories, cases like Kesha's can, hopefully, become a thing of the past. Thank you so much for listening. I love Kesha. I have been devastated for her for years, like so many people. And while I'm super happy she's releasing music, I do truly believe she deserves justice and that Dr. Luke should not have a career. My favorite songs of hers are Him and Praying off of her album Rainbow. As always, I'd love to hear what you think of Kesha's story. Catch you next time. Spread love.